love you so much, Father, because you've loved us so much. And we bless your holy name. May your name be great in this place, in this region, and in this city. May you be the one that's glorified and honored. May all men bow their knee before you. Glory be to God. And we thank you, Lord God, for all that you are, all you have done, and all you will do. And most of all, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for reaching down into my life and lifting me up and giving me life, abundant life. Glory be to God. Well, amen. You could be seated. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's good to be home, and it's good to go. And it's good to be home again, and it's good to go again. Amen. Bless the Lord. Well, this morning we are going to share some testimonies and a video and things of the work in Honduras. And I want to say for those of you that didn't go, thank you. Thank you, thank you for all that you are and all that you have done, for your intercession, for your prayers, for your support. And I want everyone to know that we all went as a team, whether you stayed behind or you went there in person. And this was, you know, I've been on many mission trips, led quite a few of them. This was very unique. This was a great, great team, and it was a great trip. I don't say that about every one of them, but they all are good and unique in their ways, but this one was very, very special. We had a wide range of age. Lillian, how old are you, 13, 14? 13. To all the way to almost 60, which is a big age difference. The team just worked so wonderfully together. The young people just did wonderful. The older people did great, and we just functioned and flowed. Over the next coming weeks, I'm probably going to unpack some things that the Lord has shown me and some things as I'm just kind of meditating on the whole trip and things that are just coming more alive to me. But as a way of announcements, just want to let you know, I think everybody pretty much got the text as well, but Richard's father passed away, which is also Mark's father-in-law, passed away 2 days ago, I think it was. And just remember him and his family in your prayers as well. Amen. Matt, are you in here? Did you want to share your announcement too?
In your bulletin, there's a little flyer. A couple of months ago, I shared what was going on. Oh, Renee's wearing a shirt. Oh, look at that. Perfect. The FDR Motorsports, the ministry that we're doing out of Valley Speedway, we're doing a fundraiser a week from Monday. If you'd like to either volunteer or if you'd like to come, it would be great. Pizza Ranch is allowing us to man the place, basically, so we're needing some volunteers for people that don't mind filling people's drinks or clearing their tables, stuff like that. But Pizza Ranch is donating all the tips that are done that night and 10% of the sales to FTR Motorsports. And we'll have the moonwalk and the race car there. So if you'd either like to volunteer, if you'd like to come to have dinner that night, that would be great. Okay? It's from 5 to 9.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, let me just kind of give you a brief overview of some of the things that we did so you kind of have a frame of reference. And then we're going to watch a little video that Russ put together from a lot of our pictures and other videos. So that'll help you get a little bit more of a better picture of what we did. So those that come up and share a testimony, you kind of can follow along a little bit better. But we, when we got there, I actually 2 days before we left, Henry and Cindy Lohman are missionaries there. So when you hear me refer to Henry, he's the missionary that's been there for 23 years. We've had a relationship with him for nearly 20 years now, or I have anyway. And so if you hear me refer to Henry, that's who I'm talking about. And Henry called me 2 days before we left and had mentioned to me that there is a pastor down there that is working with some other pastors, and they're trying to get some pastors together to unify. And what they were looking at was maybe having three services at different churches, possibly five different pastors together. And we weren't even sure that was going to happen until actually just like an hour and a half before that night, that service that actually happened, because Henry was already making plans for us to do something else. And so I was very honored that our team, and very privileged, our team was a part of a movement of unity that's going on in their area, their region, with five different pastors coming together. Henry has been there for 23 years. He said he's never seen anything like this before. Not only that, what he was really impressed with was not only did they all show up the first night, but they all showed up all three nights and brought people from the congregation and went to different churches. And it's just an amazing thing to me, because I'm hearing it from all over the place, that God is just doing a work and a movement of unity and unifying. And I really witnessed that with our particular team. I really felt like we were unified like never before. We really honored one another. We functioned together. And it's an amazing thing. You know, unity, God just blesses unity, even without him, as the Tower of Babel has shown us. When men get together and they're of one mind, even without the Lord, they can do amazing things. That's just the blessing God has put on the whole concept of unifying and being unity. But when men and women, when the children of God come together and they are of one mind and unity, we even saw that, you know, in Acts when they were praying, the 120 upper room, it says they were all of one mind and the Spirit of God is poured out. Unity is a powerful thing. And when we're unified under the name of Jesus Christ, that opens the doors for the Spirit of God to be able to function and flow. And so I was so excited about seeing those five pastors coming together. The last night, there was actually a sixth pastor that showed up. So there were six different pastors there. And so we did that. We had a vacation Bible school in a public school one morning. We did a medical clinic all day in a public school one day. We did construction for two different days. There's a family now that's going to have a concrete slab for their house to be able to put on it. That we were able to accomplish. We ministered to kids, played with kids. There was some youth ministry right there on Henry's farm. It's called Hope in a Future that they've had going for quite a few years, and we took part in that and shared some testimonies and things. And in four full days of ministry, four and a half, there was an amazing amount of things that God did. It really was. There was so many different things. So 2 days of construction, you'll probably see some of that in the video, vacation Bible school, medical clinic, and some services we did three nights in a row, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, and then the Hope in the Future on the farm, which was Sunday afternoon that we were invited to be a part of. So again, I just want to say three things that the Lord has shown to me, and like I said, we'll kind of unpack this as the weeks go along, is preparedness, unity, and authority. When we're living our lives prepared, it's not just being prepared for a particular event, it's living prepared. You know, Jesus preached a lot about that, living a life prepared before the Lord. And then when we unify with one another, you know, the Bible always tells us that where there is strife, where there's contention, where there's envy, there's every evil thing that's at work. But when we are speaking kind of one another and we're speaking good and speaking blessings over one another, it just creates an atmosphere of honor and respect. And we have this culture of honor for one another and respect. It just allows the Spirit of God to function and to move freely. Among us. And then the amount of authority. When we understand that we've been given authority because of who we are and we function within that authority, God can do amazing things. Amen? You all excited? Well, let's show that video and then we'll share some testimonies. Last night we're in church. It was a little loud. You see people dancing. We had a couple girls manifesting demons right in front of us. And we cast them out a little later as well. And it was just amazing, some of the amazing things that God did. And again, just the unity the work that the Lord began in that region. I want to continue to pray that that would continue to move forward. So we're going to take some time and share some personal testimonies. And if it's okay with you, I'm going to call you up in groups, okay, groups of three or four. So could I get Russ, Rhonda, Sarah, and Josh Sprouse? And then just go ahead and use this mic and pass it on down.
Amen. What an awesome trip. Boy, the Lord it impacted all of us with so many different things. The one that stuck out for me the most, of course, being a worshiper, of course we're all worshipers, but serving in the capacity as a worshiper that I do, was the worship. And, we go to a lot of effort, expense, and trouble buying this wonderful PA system and all this equipment we have up on the stage, and we spend hours practicing, and sometimes it shows, sometimes it doesn't. And we try really hard to worship the Lord. And then when you go to a third world country and a man gets up there and starts clapping his hands and then starts singing, and then the congregation comes in, and over the course of the next 10 minutes, they take worship to a level that very seldom have I ever experienced in the United States, let alone on this worship team. It kind of blows you away. It kind of puts you back on your heels. It makes you rethink what worship really is and what it's about. And it's not about how good you are. It's not about how well you can sing. It's not about how much money you spend on your equipment. It's not about how nice you look while you're doing this worship. It's not about any of those things. It's about what's in our hearts. And it was a heavy period of repentance for me, because I made judgments against other people in our congregation and through my life. And especially in the last 5 years, being on this worship team, I've made it very difficult for my worship leader to deal with my musical perfectionist mentality, which, frankly, I no longer have the capacity to maintain because of my age. And so it's just been a bewildering journey to come to that realization that it's so easy to get caught up in the cares of this world, in the cares of performing worship. And that's kind of an oxymoron statement there, performing worship. So what my takeaway from the trip is humility. In all aspects of my life, I was sick the last 3 days, last 2 days, 3 days. Sunday I started getting sick and had lots of time to think about what I just told you. And it's kind of without coincidence that I was sick, and the Lord dealt with me with what he revealed. So my heart has changed, and that's what I take away from Honduras, is humility, walking in humility.
I just want to say my heart is so very, very full today. I don't think it was that way when I left. Kind of Russ and I both, we kind of got that same main theme going on with what we took away, and that is humility. Naturally we were asked to prepare before we went, and so I spent a little time in preparation going before we went to try to pray, to try to maybe read the Bible. And I was quite fooling myself in that request to prepare myself for this trip. And probably for the last couple of months, maybe longer than that, I have really struggled coming here in worship, in my life, in my day-to-day. And let me just advance to the trip real quick, and then it'll put it together. So the first 2 days, I struggled greatly. And for whatever reason, you know, you get there and physically I'm very, very wore out from traveling. I don't do that very well. So I think that started the ball rolling. And then I allowed the enemy to really work on me and beat me up. And I became under a great, great black cloud for the first day. And I don't know if Crystal noticed or she just asked me out of the blue, but she's like, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, I'm not." And quickly I just flew from my side of the room over to the top bunk and where she was sitting. And, you know, she tried to pray with me, and we talked for a little bit. And it lightened things for a while. And then the next morning, we went upstairs for worship. And the tears just wouldn't stop flowing. And the ugly darkness just continued to hang around me. And so I got through that day. That was our medical day. And we were very busy doing the medical stuff. But I went to bed that night just horrified. Here I was. I had looked forward to this since Haiti 5 years ago, and a million miles away, time and money and sweat and all kinds of, you know, things spent in getting here. And I felt like I had nothing to give, and no way to even reach the Lord. And so I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was wandering around outside, and who should I bump into but Victoria and Lori, just wandering around outside at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I knew that, you know, I could get up to the prayer room. There'd be a Bible up there, and I could not disturb the other people that were asleep and try to worship the Lord and talk to the Lord. And there they were. And so, long story short, they tried to pray with me and talk to me. And Victoria said something about, you know, the light is in you and God, you know, God is the light. And I thought, oh, brother, you know, kind of roll your eyes and go, you know, there's no light in me right now. All I have is this big black hole. And she pursued and started talking about the confidence that we have in the Lord. And my heart and soul just leapt. And, you know, I thought, that is right. I am confident in a God, and He is confident in me. And I am not going to be beat up by the enemy any longer. I belong on this team. And the whole thing just changed from that point forward. So personally, I just want to challenge you, if you're in a place where I was before I left, and I have been for, you know, quite a few months, of not even realizing at the place where I was stopping. I mean, I knew in my heart, I knew there was a struggle. I had given up hope, I guess, that I could press through and that there is more and more and more. And I want to be a part of that more. I want to shine for the glory of Christ. I want to do the greater things. And so I just challenge each and every one of you, if there's something wrong in your spirit and you don't even know what it is, press through. Press through. Seek the Lord. And just real quickly, on more of a team note, Corbett, she was like our team leader. She and Andy, a young couple, you know, they served directly under Henry and Cindy. So we got to spend a lot of time with them. And she's just general housekeeping. When we first got there, she said, I want you guys to prefer one another this week. Give preference to each other, especially, you know, you're living close together, close quarters, and sharing a lot of close personal space and things like that. And just, all of us were really touched by that, and just continued to build in the unity of our team. And I remember several times just laying on my bunk thinking about that word, prefer. Preference and preferential. And so I did a real quick word study. And in the word prefer means like a thing or a person, better or best than another or others, a tendency to choose or favor or select, more partial, lean towards, to promote or advance to a rank or position. I thought that was very interesting. To give priority, to recommend, to set forward or before someone, to bring or lay against someone. And that was more of a legal sense, that if you prefer, you won't prefer charges, you won't bring charges against another person. And then the root word even meant to bear, being to carry, to accept, to endure, to assume or accept cost or responsibility, or even to be worthy. So I am just so proud of our team and the youth. I just want to call out Connor and Cade. When Cade bore his testimony, it was just awesome. And a Friday night in prayer when Connor was praying over some people, it was just so awesome. I don't have really words to explain it, but the Lord was so there, mighty among our young people. I'm so proud of them.
Well, for me, two of the main themes that the Lord highlighted were his faithfulness to us in comparison to our faithfulness to him, which is much smaller, and then also his power. I think during the whole trip we saw huge, huge examples of his power being shown, being exude on people there, also on us. So Anna and Noel, I guess, made these little notebooks. And so at the somebody did. Anyways. So there's good information in here, but also there was pages in the back where you're supposed to like journal and write down highlights, and I'm not really a writer, and so it took me a long time to start writing in my journal. I thought, oh, yeah, I can keep all this stuff in my head, and there's not enough room. So so four things for me, the four highlights for the week. First one was we had gotten there the very first day that we were supposed to do construction. I had a major back issue, and Terry knows my major back issues. They don't happen very often, but when they do, they're really bad. And so I thought, there is no way that I can do construction today. But I thought, no, Sarah, just, you know, you've got your wall up. Everybody thinks you're amazing because you are. But anyways, so I thought, no, just push and push and push. And so I'm out there raking. And I thought, I don't even rake my yard at home. What am I doing? So needless to say, I raked for a little bit, and the pain didn't get any better. So finally Joe says, hey, you want to go with the kids? And I'm like, oh, hallelujah, yes. So I go with the kids, and, you know, Crystal and I are wandering around gathering children, and because Crystal's pretty good at that. And anyway, so we ended up playing with the kids, and these kids didn't know how to throw a football. What is wrong with these kids? I don't know. They'd play football, soccer, not football, you know, like our football. So watching these kids learn how to play a football was pretty funny. Anyway, so the next day, and this is after I had pain all day, was pushed to the limit when I had to do VBS prep that same night that we did construction. And so I thought, well, if I just push this behind me and I'm distracted by other things, it'll go away. It doesn't just go away like that. So the next morning, Joe called me to the middle of the circle during the worship time, and everybody prayed for me and a couple others. And wow, the power of God is pretty amazing. And that was the day. That was the day that we were supposed to do VBS. And I thought, there's no way that I can do VBS and be in charge with this back pain. So they prayed for me, and the pain was pretty much gone. And I've never had a physical healing like that, which was cool. So then, next, VBS, which was completely amazing because everybody Like Joe said, everybody worked as a team. So we were not just a team, but it really was the epitome of unity. Because I just started calling out people, like, you do this, you do that, you go over there. And from what I could tell, everybody worked pretty good together. So, and to me, that's God. That's his faithfulness to us when we are faithful to him, doing the things that we've been asked to do. Okay, so fast forward a couple nights later to the last night that we were at the church. And Joe talked about a little bit about these girls that were manifesting. And I had never seen anything like that in person, ever. So I ended up at one point during the service at the very back corner of the church, like, why are we supposed to be here? What is going on here? And so anyways, again, with the power of God, he just came in. And we, when Joe called the team up to pray, it's like there was no Sarah. It was just like I stepped up. And everything was just laid out in perfect order. And the funny part was, I ended up with this girl who I didn't know at the time was 17. And she had an epileptic seizure disorder, whatever. And so I prayed for her. But it wasn't just a prayer for her. I think that was the first time I've ever really interceded for someone speaking in tongues. And so that was huge for me, just to let go and completely let God take over. And so then I find out that she's 17. And so then the Lord really broke my heart, because I knew that Rebecca was at home missing me and I was missing her. And so the Lord then revealed a lot of things that he's doing between us and things that we need to work on. And so that was a huge thing. Again, with his power and his faithfulness to us when we're faithful to him. And so the last one I want to share with you real quick. I'm sure I'm over my time, but I don't care.
Next.
Sorry. The last one I want to share with you. The last night that we were there at the farm, I had not been to the prayer room the whole time, and I was already feeling guilty because the prayer room is right there. I mean, you walk how far? Not even very far. You walk to the prayer room, go, and have a great time. Well, I had kind of been against going to the prayer room. I was like, I can pray on my own. I don't need to go to a room just for prayer. So I go to the prayer room, and the Lord broke off a bunch of other things. I ended up on my face before the Lord, just bawling. And that's never happened before, too, because, you know, me and my whole power trip that I have, and I need to be in control of things. Stop laughing. Anyways, so that, again, was an example of the Lord's power when we are faithful to do what he's asked us to do. Last one, this was not on the agenda, but I wanted to share with you guys. I haven't really ever been to fancy places. And so on the way to the resort, we're driving down the road, and I look over, and there's this amazing resort. And I look at Crystal, who's sitting in front of me, and I said, whoa, look at that place. That's so fancy. That's cool. I've never been to somewhere like that. And Crystal's just like, yeah, uh-huh, whatever. So then we keep driving, and then we turn into the resort. And I'm sure Crystal knew exactly where we were going, but, you know, she didn't say anything. So, again, with the faithfulness that God has to us, such an amazing gift that we could go to a place like that, unwind, play on the beach, get tossed around by the waves and all of that fun stuff, just playing and having fun. And so that's just an example of how much he loves us. He's faithful to us, and he knows those things that we love, and that he gives us those amazing gifts when we're faithful to him. So, here we go. I think that's it. Is that it? I think that's it. I don't know. I think that's it. Anything else to add? And Josh does not share the window seat, and I don't like it.
Not me, the other Josh. I was just going to redo what Russ said. Not redo, but reiterate. Thank you. What Russ said, that it was a great trip, a great experience, and I hope we go again soon. But I have a short testimony and then another, I guess you could say. My first short one would be my problems with arrogance that I've had, and in general, it helped me some. Anyway, back there looking at my sister making funny faces. I'll gladly point you out. But another would be that I was playing soccer with a kid named Carlos. He's my age, 18, and I kept looking over at another kid named Raul. He's 13 and has Down syndrome and doesn't talk too much because he can't. He tries, but it's hard to understand what he's saying because it's not complete words. But I asked him what, because at the time I didn't know what his name was. I asked him, like, if anyone talked to him or anything, and Carlos said, no, no one talks to him. He doesn't understand anything. He doesn't talk. And I kept looking over him. I was playing soccer, continuing, and eventually I built up to the point that I did go talk to him. I just said that I would try, and it was really touching to get to, like, know him, sort of, because he does understand more than the family thinks or anyone else thinks. Like, for the people that was there with me can vouch for that, and it was an overall good experience. We gave him some toys, and I think he gave me a kiss on the cheek, and it was a good experience.
Hey, man, that's awesome, guys. Thank you so much. Well, the next group, Anna, David, Crystal, and Cade, please. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Incredible.
Is it on? Okay. The trip for me was really great. I enjoyed it. Going through it, you know, when people go on missions trips, a lot of people have, like, those really big encounters with the Lord, and things just really happen in their heart, and this trip wasn't like that for me, and it was actually really refreshing, because in the midst of this trip, I think my favorite part of it was I got to experience a part of my Father in heaven that I hadn't before, and it was like a dad that just comes alongside you and woos you back into his heart, and that was what this trip was for me. Nothing we saw was, like, out of the ordinary for me. Like, I've worked in the midst of a lot of the big things that happened on this trip, and I wasn't surprised, but through the entire thing, I had become dull over the last years to a lot of it. When I was in IHOP, you, on an almost daily occurrence, you were in the midst of praying with people and seeing demons come out, and you were in the midst weekly of watching people get up out of wheelchairs and healed, and you were in the midst of working with the broken, and in the last year or two, I've just become very dull to it. Just, like, I know how to operate in it, and I know how to work in the midst of that, but it didn't really move my heart anymore like it used to. And so on this trip, that's one of the biggest things that I think the Lord did, was just looking at me going, where did you go? Because we're in the ministry nights, and, like, it's chaos in some of the nights. I mean, you're talking 30 people up front and flailing and screaming, and then on the other side you have people, like, jumping and screaming because they just got healed of stomach problems or eczema and stuff. And I was just standing there looking at it, and my heart was just beating, going, this is what I love doing. I've got to get in the midst of this. And it hasn't done that in a long time. So I think that was one of the biggest things for me, is the Lord just put everything in front of me. Because I've kept finding myself standing backwards, or away from it, which is unusual because usually I'm in it. And the Lord just kept putting me on the outside and just showing it to me. And I just kept looking at it. And my heart kept burning more and more and more. And he is like, where did you go? Like, where have you gone, Anna? Not in a negative way, just more of like, your heart has quit beating for these things again. And it was really good to me because it was the Lord just wooing my heart back into the place of, this is what you were called to do. And I think my favorite moment on the trip, if he was here, it would embarrass the snot out of him, but he's not, was Josh Paulson. I've known Josh since he was tiny. I used to carry him on my back, and I adore that kid, young man. He's not a kid. And I was his youth leader for 2 years and fought for him and was constantly trying to cast a vision for him of what it looks like and all the other youth, and didn't always see very much success. And everyone kept telling me, you're planting seeds, you're just planting seeds, and then it come forward. And on this trip, we got to see all of the young ones stand up. And my favorite was the first night, I might cry, when everything was happening and people were getting healed and people were getting delivered from addictions and people were manifesting. He jumped in, like, didn't have a clue half of what he was doing, but he just jumped in and he was like, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to do it. And he came up to me later and he's like bouncing on his toes and he looks at me and he goes, oh my gosh. And I was like, what? He's like, this is amazing. And I was like, what are you talking about, bud? He goes, you were right. I was like, no, I really don't know what you're talking about. Like, what are you talking about? He was like, this is what you always yelled at us about. This is what you always said in youth group. He goes, it's real, Anna. It's so real. And he spent the next 5 minutes going on and on and on about how excited he was because he could feel the presence of the Lord, because he prayed for someone and they got healed, because someone stood up who couldn't walk, because he saw the demonic and he was seeing it have to come under the authority of the kingdom of light. And that to me was the best moment on that entire trip, was watching people who have no experience stand up and seeing it. And specifically me seeing Josh, someone that I love like a little brother, all of a sudden get it. And he was just like excited. He was like, can we go to another service right now? Like, I need more people to pray for. And he just was completely rocked by it. And that meant everything to me, was seeing all of us come together and be confronted with things that we hadn't seen before and walk and hear the Lord. And one other thing that I loved, Sarah mentioned it, and I just wanted to highlight it because it was precious to me, is every time we got called forward as a team, we moved forward as a team. I've been in a lot of ministry settings where we don't work as a team, where you're trying to minister to a crowd that gets called up for something, and you're not doing it together. And you can see some success, but it's not the same as when the entire team goes forward. And there were so many times where we would go up to someone and I would ask the person next to me, well, what are you getting? Here's what I'm getting. And then we would work together. And as a team, we worked through the entire crowd and it was beautiful. I enjoyed it so much and my heart was like, oh, this is so cool because we're actually doing it together. And so that was where the highlights for me for the trip to Honduras.
Awesome. Amen. So I'm going to reiterate a few things that some of the others have already said. One, the youth were astonishing on this trip. Like every single one of them, Lillian, Cade, Connor, both the Joshes, like they blew my mind. And like the things that they did, like they hadn't seen manifestations, like the healings of the Lord, things that they've never experienced before. They stood up with boldness and just went in, laid hands on people. Some of them wept over the sick while they were praying. I mean, like, it was absolutely amazing to see their hearts be moved by the Lord for those people. And it just really encouraged me. And then the other thing is, one of the reasons why I believe that we saw so much power, so much healing, and people, like demons actually responding to the Lord, is the unity that was in the trip. The fact that we did move as a team in one unit underneath the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it was incredible. And that's one of the reasons why I actually believe why we saw so much of the like response from the Holy Spirit. But anyways, I just want to share a personal testimony for that happened for me on the trip. One morning is one of the most beautiful things about Honduras is that it is gorgeous. The mountains and everything is just wonderful, and it was so inviting to just go and stand by myself outside somewhere and just talk to the Lord. And I know that it's not just me here, but it gets really mundane sometimes, you know, just having to go through the motions, having to wake up at 5 in the morning, go to work, come back completely exhausted, do some things around the house, go to bed, and do it again the next day. You know, sometimes it's really difficult, and it really wears on you, and it's really easy to forget that the Lord wants to have a personal relationship with you and wants to grow closer to you and wants you to respond to the movements of his heart for you. And that's just kind of what I had been dealing with before the trip. And so when I got there one morning, I was sitting outside and I was talking to him about something to do with just relationships and just how, like, it's so difficult sometimes to know how to, what to expect in relationships and how to react and how to help people and how to, like, just be healthy in relationships. And the Lord was so clear. It just cut through every thought that I had. He was like, are your expectations in the right place? I was like, I don't know. I was like, I have no idea if my expectations are in the right place. And as I sat there, just kind of like, I had my Bible in my lap. I felt like the Lord was just like, look up Song of Solomon 6:5. And so I opened my Bible and it says, turn your eyes from me for they overcome me. And as I kind of was just thinking about that, I kept kind of like bounced back a little bit in Song of Solomon. I was reading, and then in 4:9, it says, one look from your eyes has ravished my heart. And I might cry. But it's just like a reminder of, well, let me bounce back a little bit. So the Lord said this to me. He's like, this is what you see in other people. You're like, you're wanting a response from them in a certain way, and you're expecting certain things from them. And he's like, and how I look at you every day. Is when you expect something from them, I unconditionally love you. And every look, one little look from your eyes moves my heart. And this is how I want you to respond to those people. This is how I want you to give your life to them, is not expecting them to give you something in return, not expecting them to heal you back, but it's more of a one look from them, one look of adoration, one look of love, even if it's weak love, moves my heart. This is how I see you. And it was just a reminder of that, even in the mundane, that even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, even when I don't know what to do or where to go, the Lord loves just the smallest look, the weak love. It moves his heart. Anyways, but yeah, that's one of the major things that the Lord did in my life on this trip and just reminded me of. And this might take a little bit of time. How much time do I got? Can I get a little bit? Oh, come on. So they were talking about the manifestations and like the demonic things that were happening at some of the services. On the first night, there was a young girl who was manifesting, and this is actually really cool, Russ. I didn't tell you about this part, but me and Noel were praying for this girl who had chronic stomach pain, and she got healed, which was wonderful. Like, we prayed for her. She was like, I have no more pain. It was absolutely incredible. But while I was praying for her, this girl starts manifesting, and I remember looking over at her, and the Lord was so clear. He was like, she has a spirit of sorrow, and I was like, okay, cool. But anyways, I ignored it and just kind of kept praying for this girl. And once, right about the time that this girl gets healed, I turn and I look back, and Russ is walking forward to her. He's like, she has a spirit of sorrow. And I was like, that's awesome. We both heard the same thing. And at that moment, I was like, okay, the Lord has marked this girl. Like, he's going to set her free. And so I was like, cool. So we all get down there. Like, me, Victoria, and Russ, we're all, like, praying for her. And she's violently manifesting a demon right now. And anyways, like, long story short for that night, she didn't get set free. I don't know what happened really, but that night, just nothing happened. And so I kind of had like moved it to the back of my mind, but then on the third night, when everything's going down, Joe gives an altar call, like, hey, if you have demons, there's freedom for you. She had been manifesting during the worship on that night too. She was there on the third night. And the Lord was marking her, gave me a word about her father, that he wasn't alive and things like that. And so I was like, okay, so the Lord still has a mark in this girl's heart. So after worship ends, going to go up front, we pray for people, and then there's some of us that are ministering to her in the back, and I decide to go over there. And I ask her through the translator, I'm like, do you have a father? She's like, no, I don't, things like that. And it was just like confirmation after confirmation that the Lord is about to move in this girl's life. And so Joe comes up, and he's just like, start casting the demon out of her. So we start ministering to her and start telling this demon to leave, and she starts manifesting again. It gets crazy. And after a little bit of time, it calms down. And then we start just ministering the love of the Lord. And just like, I led her to Jesus just through a simple prayer. And one of the things about people who are demonically oppressed is that you can see it in their eyes. And it is one of the most incredible things to lead someone through deliverance, because their eyes are foggy. They can't focus on you. It's just, it's the weirdest thing. But right about the time as I'm praying with her, and I was like, in Jesus' name, I declare that you are the Lord of my life. I declare that Jesus is my Savior. And I got her to repeat that. And she's like weeping at this point. And as she says it, she says those words, her eyes just like, I'm watching this happen. Her eyes just become clear, focused directly on me. And at that moment, I knew she was free. And it was just amazing to see the power of the Lord and just the blood of Jesus Christ that when we declare it over our lives and we accept him into our lives, the freedom that comes from it. It was incredible. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, what he said. Kind of like Anna, this was an interesting trip for me. Because I wasn't real sure where I was within the team. And I just, I kind of watched a lot of what was going on. I had a few things that the Lord gave me and downloaded to me. One of the things that I got, and I'll probably steal Joe's thunder from this because it hit me at the same time when he said it. He had the small team leaders go to their people and ask what their testimony was. And so Anna and David and I were going to all of our people and saying, okay, you're supposed to be working on your testimony. What's your testimony? And so they downloaded what their testimony was going to be. And then we all went back to Joe and gave him those testimonies. And then we heard several of them. All of them were incredibly awesome, everybody on that team. And I'm sure everybody in this place has an awesome testimony of who the Lord is. But there was a continuing theme over and over that you heard a lot. And that was the damage that fathers had inflicted on their kids. And we were in a very, very fatherless country. Marriage there is not common. A man will have 5 or 6 women. So the kids never really know who their dads are. So I kept hearing these testimonies over and over and over of damage that had been done by fathers. But what really got to me is that over and over and over, our Abba Daddy overcame. And it didn't really matter what our natural fathers had done or men had done, because our God overcame all of it. And Jesus overcame all of it on the cross. And that came through in every single testimony that was given, that Jesus was the reason that we could stand. And that's so, I mean, you know that, but when you hear it, and Joe said it, and it was so true. He said, we're just a bunch of broken people. We are just a bunch of broken people that have God and his son and the cross and the Holy Spirit and have been restored to who we are. And that was a continuing theme that I heard. Unity, you've already heard, and you just can't express how much the unity was within the team. You know, you put 12 women in a small room. And as Rhonda did her word study on preferring and preference. Okay, now you think about this. She's talking about women out wandering around at 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, now they had to come back in. They did come back in and go to bed. I would wager that most of us never heard them. Monica, do you hear people come in? Deborah? I was in bed usually early. I'm telling you that just the preference for each other and the love within that group and what they showed was amazing. And the last thing that really came out to me that I never, never expected, and I said this, and I think a couple of people overheard me, and they thought I said it in a negative way, and I didn't. I have never been blessed to feel like such a mom on a trip or with anyone before. I mean, I'm Kate's mom. But there was a gifting within me that allowed me to minister as a mom on this trip. And I felt so honored and so blessed, because that's not a gifting I normally look to myself to find. And I don't know why it happened that way, and I don't know why people saw me that way, but I felt so honored and blessed to be the mom on this trip. It was amazing.
All right, so this was my first missions trip, and I left not really having a good relationship with the Lord. I guess I tried, but I could never really find it. And so I left, and once we got there, it was intense with about 15 boys in one room. Nine? I don't care. It was like 15. Joe counts as three. And so we went to first night at church. It was very intense for me. And, like, first thing I knew, I was getting up, going to the front, and praying for people. And I saw the man get up and walk who hadn't walked in 2 weeks. And so that was amazing for me. Then we got to the third night, and I was just like, okay, this is just crazy. Because I had seen manifestations one night, manifestations the second night. And then on the third night, it was just crazy. And so I'm just like, okay, what's going on? And then everyone was healed, and I'm just like, I felt closer to the Lord. Like, over all the time that I was in Honduras, just I had time to actually spend with the Lord, and I felt closer. I still had my nicks and knacks when I got home, but I felt closer to the Lord. And Noel had told me on the first night, with the man not being able to walk for 2 to 3 weeks, I had stayed with that man when everybody had left to go to other people. And she told me that since you had stayed there, you were actually most of the reason that he could walk, because you had stayed there and you had kept praying for him. So that's really my testimony at Honduras.
That's awesome. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Praise God. Scott, Connor, and Cindy, would you come up, please?
Okay. Well, Holy Spirit was just good. You know, there's so much going on. We've heard some things, but Holy Spirit was just good. I kind of need a summary sometimes. And Holy Spirit was just good to drop that on me. And it's from 1 John 4:9-10. And this, the love of God was made manifest or displayed where we are concerned, in that God sent his Son, the only begotten or unique Son, into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And really, that's what I saw manifest so powerfully through the week, was just the manifestation, the display, the extravagant display of our Father's love for those on the team, and then those we were honored to be amongst. You know, there were just so many present needs, but we were honored to be a part to fill those needs. And I just want to, say that, the honor, everything is seated in love, honor, respect, preference. And really, that's what I experienced, was just the measure of his love that I'd never experienced before. And a personal testimony of that, briefly, we were at the medical facility, or the schoolhouse, and I was on the dental team, and that was pretty, an unrefined process, you know, just brought the kids in, or the adults, whomever. Yeah, and they sat at a school desk. I mean, the school desk had crayons and markings, and then they got a quick shot. I mean, and there's sometimes a little numbing thing, quick shot, and I mean, not even given the shot enough time, you know. And the dentist we go to, they're always real accommodating. Are you feeling okay? You doing okay? Can you feel this? You know, it was just like boom, bam, and these kids were. They were only doing extractions. So, very quick. But, I mean, we saw quite a few people, the dentist did. And I do want to say, too, again, it was mentioned that all those, medical day, the medical and dental day, the clinic, was all paid for by New Covenant. Is that right, Joe? I mean, all the... Yeah, so and so we're all part of that. It was beautiful because these people received real. I mean, this is a very, very rural area, and these people walked in, with their babies and their kids, and they just walked in like from the bush. They just walked, you could tell word had gotten out somehow because they just kept coming in, and you saw the line on Russ's compilation there. And it was all day. I mean, we were there in the morning, and it I think 5 o'clock, 4 or 5 o'clock, we saw people. So anyway, but in one moment we were between patients there, and Holy Spirit just laid on me just a tongue tip taste of his love that he had, just his love. For those people, but just his love. And it just overwhelmed me. And there I was in the middle, and I knew I couldn't just go with it. You know what I mean? And Holy Spirit's so kind and measured, and he allowed me to kind of excuse myself, and I walked outside. So it wasn't really in response to any pain or anything, but it was just that I saw or discomfort or anything. But I was just overwhelmed with his love. And to the point of just blubbering. I was just blubbering. And I knew, again, I didn't want to do that inside the clinic because that would kind of add to the trauma that these people were. I didn't want to lay out and it was like, okay, now we got to minister to the big guy in the middle, pass out. And the kids, help, the, you know, get the. But so I came back in and we were doing our thing again. And it's kind of a neat confirmation of Holy Spirit's message there, a drop on that. Because I turned around and Monica, whom it wasn't on our team, I think she was, you're on the life squad, right? So she was in the room. I turned around and she was just crying. And she said, I just feel God's love. Holy Spirit is so powerful in this room. And it was just a beautiful moment of confirmation of what I was experiencing. Just this, the profound love and how we all walked in that and experienced that all week and how we were enriched and everybody we encountered was enriched by his love and how faithful he is. Thank you.
So I left. When we went to Honduras, I felt like I was as far from God as you could possibly get. And when we got there, I felt the same way. And I, okay, fast forward a little bit. The, I think it was Saturday night church service, our last church night, I guess. And that was extremely intense. I went up and prayed for everyone. And I didn't see anything happen right away, but I was praying for one woman. And she actually started to manifest right in front of me. She started to. It didn't really go anywhere, but yeah. So but after that night, I felt like I had a relationship with God again, and I could pray to him, and he and I felt like he would actually hear me. And also, another thing is, I was, I think it was dinner or lunch, and we were at the farm, or whatever you want to call it, and Corbett was sharing a story about her husband, Andy, and how one, I think it was one morning, a woman and her daughter came up to the gate, so they went out to see what was going on, and they found out that the girl was really sick, so they took her to the hospital, I think, and they didn't hear anything else about her for a couple days. And one morning she got up, I think it was, and then afternoon came and she didn't know where Andy was. So apparently Andy got sick about 2 or 3 in the morning. And every day he just kept getting a little bit better and a little bit better. And he was really sick. He kept throwing up. He had a fever. And he was so sick that I don't think he even made it to the bathroom. So I think a couple, then he was fine after that. And then a couple days later, the little girl's uncle came back to the gate and said that she was fine. She was completely fine. And that she was healed about 2 or 3 in the morning. And the thing that really touched me about that story is that Corbett didn't know it at the time, but Andy had prayed for the little girl, and he said, God, give whatever she has to me. And the same time that she was healed, that's when Andy got sick. So, yeah, that just really touched me, so.
Wow. I just want to say ditto to Crystal and Anna. They kind of said it all. I was also kind of standing in the background and watching and observing. I didn't really know why I was supposed to be on the trip, but I knew I was. God had called me. The whole mission trip thing I was very familiar with and very comfortable with. My biggest apprehension was spending a week with those women. And it was amazing. It was awesome. And not just the women, but the whole team. I heard compliment after compliment about New Covenant Ministries and how wonderful we were. I don't say we, but and I was impressed that they noticed me. It was home. But then also on the trip, God showed me some things too. The first service, unity service we had, a little girl came up to me for prayer, and I was praying for her, and I kept hearing mother. And then the Lord told me to tell her that she was beautiful and loved. And so I did. And after I told her that, she said that her mother had abandoned her and she wanted her back in her life. And that just really broke me. And I, like Crystal said, it's a fatherless nation for the most part, but there's many kids there without mothers as well. And it just broke my heart. And I don't know, it was the first day that Anna asked me what my testimony would be. And I said, well, probably about fatherless, being fatherless. But also, my mother had left me when I was 3 years old. So when that girl came up and said that her mother had abandoned her, then that kind of was like, oh, not only the fatherless, but the motherless too. So I just broke down. I was just crying and praying with her. And that little girl, she came back to all three Unity services. And on the third Unity service, Henry invited her to come to the youth service on Sunday as well. And then on the Sunday morning service, I'm sitting there at this church, and all of these little girls just keep flooding in, and I just start bawling. I'm just starting to cry, and Janice was looking at me, and I'm like, and I just really didn't know what was going on, but it was a little girl's orphanage had just shown up, and they were so precious, and I could just feel the brokenness, and I wanted to bring them all home with me. I really did. So I had a long discussion with Henry about the situations there with the kids, and really feel like identity is a huge issue there with these kids because of not having any family, and they really need to know who they are, and that they're, if they don't have a father, that it's not because of them or anything they've done. And so there's a lot of prayer going on with that for me. And just my heart is right there with them. And I can't wait to go back. I seriously can't wait to go back. Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, there was so much. And Russ did a great job on the video. Oh, by the way. Like, I don't know, it's like the third morning or the fourth morning when we were upstairs in worship and prayer. The Lord said, it's time for you to speak, Cindy. And on the last day we were there, I told Joe. I said, I can start talking now. He was like, oh, the last day. But now that I've got the mic, I might not let it go. So the unity and the identity things, they're all just coming together, and it's so amazing how God is bringing all of these people around the world doing exactly what Joe has been talking to us about. And oh, I was going to say, Russ did a great job on the video. There are so many touching moments as I went through all the pictures I took. I just look and there's just so many, and I mean, we could just sit and watch it for hours. And the looks, the things we did, the things that were said, the kids. It was just an amazing experience. It was awesome.
Hallelujah. Okay. Awesome job, guys. Monica, Lillian, and Deborah, please.